Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
You know, tonight I have on my heart the subject of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. One of my favorite subjects. You know, you've got to have it. We've got to have it to get the job done. A lot of people in a lot of churches have traded in the anointing for professionalism. And the less anointing you have, the more degrees you have to have behind your name to take the place of the anointing. I mean, I've actually had some people call me and say, I am prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher, doodab from such and such a nation. And I'm thinking, my goodness, hi, I'm Debbie. And but when you carry the anointing, you don't have to have a lot of fake stuff behind it. And I think it was Eagle River, I said the other day, yes, I finally was able to obtain my doctorate in theology, but I've noticed it doesn't seem to make any difference to the devil, doesn't make any difference to God, doesn't seem to make any difference in the anointing and the meetings. And when you go to cast out a devil, I've never had one say, we've got to go, she has her PhD. No, it's still the same thing. It's the name. It's the anointing. It is the power of the living God. But, you know, nowadays you have a program for everything because of the lack of anointing. It looks like going to a secular place that on Monday nights we have help for the divorcee, on Tuesday nights we have help for the married, on Wednesday nights we have help for the divorcee that wants to be married and for the married that wants to be divorced, and then on Thursdays we have for the single mom, and on Fridays we have for the dad who wants to be a mom, and all the, you know, and by the time you're done reading these bulletins, you're just going, whatever happened to the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage? And thank God you're sitting in a church that believes it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage, and that it's the anointing that Alaska must have, and that it's the anointing that you press in for. Hallelujah. It's the only thing the devil respects, the anointing. He'll let you carry a message as long as there's nothing behind it. If you don't think that's true, why do we have so many drooling on forever messages going on across the country on Sunday morning? And the devil, I think he comes to church and goes, man, even I'm bored with this, but I'm going to let him go. There's no power in it, and it's not going to change any life. He doesn't care about 3 points to the 29 ways to the 47 methods because he knows that will not change anybody's life. It is only the anointing of the Holy Ghost that will change lives. The anointing will cause damage to the enemy's kingdom. We are not ministering to intellect. It's not dead heads ministering to dead heads, but it's spirit to spirit. It's heart to heart. And it's the anointing that must permeate the atmosphere and permeate every blockage in anyone's heart to receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Many, many years ago, when I was still in Bible school, before I even came to Alaska, Brother Kenneth Hagin was preaching at his camp meeting, and I had never heard him preach like that. I mean, he was a teacher, you know. He talked about how in his early years that he was a fast preaching machine, but he talks about the day that the Lord dropped that teaching gift into him, and now he was more of a teacher. But that particular night, he was back to preaching like he did as a young man. We all just sat there glued. I mean, he was going for it. And somewhere in the middle of it, he started reprimanding Rhema graduates who had come to the Bible school because they felt called to preach. But then they just got into a nice church and a nice youth group for their kids, and they just stayed there 20 years later, doing nothing, not even doing anything in the church. And he started reprimanding them, and he said, you don't have the preach on you like I had on me, or you would find somewhere to preach. You would find a street corner or something. He said, either go to preaching or stop your lying that you're called to preach. He wasn't talking to me. I was a first-year student. I mean, I knew he wasn't talking to me. But when you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you take in every message personally. I thought, bless God, I got to find a place to preach. I'm a first-year student. But I didn't do it necessarily a super spiritual way. Maybe I would do it differently today. But I just opened up the yellow pages. Again, that tells you how long ago it was. And it would have been nice to Google it, but that was not in existence. So I opened the yellow pages, and I thought, you know what? I've done some nursing home ministry with my church back in Nebraska. I'll just start with a nursing home closest to me in that cruddy old apartment I was living in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And if that nursing home doesn't let me in, I'll go to the next one and call them and call them till somebody lets me in. So it just happened that the first one pretty close to my house said, okay, you can come on Mondays at this time. Now, I'm not only going to school, I'm working till midnight every night, and I just had a little segment in between that I could go do this. Plus, I had homework, plus I was taking care of three kids. And so when I got into that nursing home, I realized what a miracle it was and what favor of God that I even got in there, because everybody working there and managing it were atheists. They hated the presence of God. I thought, how did I even get in here? I mean, they, first of all, not one person in that nursing home had even a little piece of their mind left. I mean, and some of them, some people do, but nobody had a piece of their mind left there. The entire time I'm preaching, one lady would be walking in front of me, just back and forth in front of me right here, flashing us with her blouse. I'm like, oh, shakatara basco. Everybody keep your eyes on Jesus. And while she's doing this, another man kept walking in between me and the people doing this. So we got flasher, we got clapper, and nobody was paying attention to anything. And one person just kept hollering out, shut up and turn the TV on, shut up and turn the TV on. And I thought, this is wanting to preach really badly. And I would make my three boys, two of them might even be here tonight, they said they were coming, but I would make them go in with me. And I'd play the piano and we'd all sing. And then we would have that while I'm preaching. And at least when they were out of school in the summer, I made them go with me. And things were getting worse and worse. And because the people there hated me, they would actually, one of the nurses would stand here and holler to one in the back, hey, Agnes, get me some gauze up here. And I thought, she couldn't walk back and ask her that? I mean, could we have anything else going on to disrupt? I mean, and so this is going on for weeks, and I'm getting more and more upset. And then they bring a guy out this next week who literally, he was a new patient, and he was a young man. He had been in a motorcycle accident, and they had him strapped in a wheelchair, and he had no mind at all. He was drooling. His tongue was hanging out. His eyes were glazed. But the only thing that he could say when he talked, other than mumbling, was the most profane swear words, and nothing in between that. And they wheeled him out and set him right here. Now I've got flasher and clapper and shut up and turn the TV on. And Agnes, do you want some gauze? And we got blinkity, blink, 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 blink. And I thought, that's it. I obviously have no fruit here. I obviously am not called to this ministry. And I'm getting more and more and more upset. In fact, the week before I had told the Lord that I was done, I said, obviously, if I was accomplishing something, I'd come back, but I'm not. And I'll never forget what the Holy Ghost said. He said, have I called you to be successful or have I called you to be obedient? There was no word going in that place. And the word was going into the atmosphere once I got there, even though it looked like it was accomplishing nothing. But his word will not come back unto him void. And when it comes with the anointing, I don't care if it takes a little bit longer than it looks like it should take. That anointing will accomplish something. So I went back in that next week, and that's when they wheeled this man out with his profanity. And I could feel, even a distance from him, I could feel the lust coming from him. I could tell he was full of demons. And it's probably another reason they had him tied in there. And when it was time to leave, I always did, you know, the nice thing. Let's be honest. Sometimes the religious thing. Goodbye, God bless you. Goodbye, God bless you. Goodbye, God bless you. It's hard to even do that with people doing this, and goodbye, God bless you. And I got to him, and I wasn't even going to try to shake his hand. I thought, what I feel coming from him, he'll probably try to pull me down into the wheelchair or something. He doesn't know what's going on anyway. I'm just going to skip him. And then heard him say, he whispered it, heard him say the first words that were not profanity, "Help me." Yeah, I was arrested in place. And I bent down and I said, "Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?" And he said, "I can't. Those things inside me won't let me." He said, "Do you know what I mean?" And I said, "Yeah, I know what you mean." And I looked up, and at that moment, it was like E.F. Hutton was speaking. I mean, nobody, the lady doing this quit doing this, the one doing this quit doing that, the nurses quit hollering, wanting some tape and some gauze. In fact, their eyes were all on me. They couldn't even have heard him as low as he said that. But when something's about to happen in the spirit realm, people are arrested and they sense it. And so all eyes were suddenly on me, and my mind in a moment went back to a thing that happened in our church in Nebraska when I was on a winter retreat with some of our Christian school high schoolers, and a couple of them had gotten involved in some stuff, and demons manifested, and we had to cast them out that night. And my mind went back to that of, oh God, we can't have all this taking place here. They're just itching for an opportunity and a reason to throw me out of here. And so I prayed, I've said this many times, I prayed one of the deepest theological prayers that I've ever prayed in that moment, and I've used it many times since. You might want to write this down in a notebook. Help. And when I did, I was flooded not only with anointing like I had never known, but it was coupled with a gift of faith that I've only known a couple of times like that since. And I've been over, not in a loud voice, I'm not saying there isn't a time to do that, I've used that at times, but in that place, just by that gift of faith and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, just grabbed his hand and softly said, "By the name which is above every name, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by the blood of the Lamb, be free." And when I did, that man sunk back in his wheelchair, those glazed eyes cleared, tears began to run down his face, and he says, "Freedom, I've never known it before." And we led him to the Lord on the spot. And after that week, healings and miracles begin to pop in that place, and people begin to answer the altar call, and people begin to get saved. There is something about the anointing, if you will not quit, that cannot fail. There is something about the anointing that you can take in any place in this state. You can take in any nursing home, in any hospital, in any store, in any place the Lord sends you, and you aren't by yourself. You are equipped with a supernatural equipment that when it's in you and on you and behind you and upon you and around you, there is no stopping the will of the Lord from being accomplished. We have enough people in this auditorium tonight full of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You've just got to realize what equipment you are carrying, what you're anointed with, that no devil in hell can stop, no government can stop, no pandemic can stop, no decree or directive can stop. Nothing can stop you unless you allow yourself to be stopped. Unless either because of fear, insecurity, depression, whatever, instead of getting free in that anointing, that you succumb to that. The only reason you can be stopped is if you stop. But nothing else can stop you. We have enough anointing to do anything that we've been assigned to do. Just last night, I was rehearsing a few of the miracles for the years, and one I talked about that happened a couple of years ago in South Africa. I was in a meeting, and there was a whole bunch of people who came up for healing, and there were several healing evangelists there, and we were all directed to pick somebody out by the Holy Ghost and pray for them. And I saw this very extra short young woman, and I went up to her, and she said, I had a stroke when I was 3 years old, and I've been paralyzed since then. I've never ran in my life. And then she tried to walk, and she has to drag this whole side. And I had a moment going, yeah, why didn't I pick out one of the sore throat people? I mean, you have those moments in the natural. That's why you got to step out of the natural and into the supernatural. But quickly, we made the adjustment and prayed for her, and that lady took off running through that large auditorium in South Africa. And I stood there and went, oh, what the anointing can do, how it can go where no surgeon's knife can go, it can go where no psychiatrist can go, it can go where no best friend's words can go, it can go where nothing else that this planet has to offer can do. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that's what he wants to rub in you some more of tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. Noel and Edna will remember this. They were with me in Friday Harbor, Washington. A man came over by way of ferry into those meetings every day from Orcas Island. But I didn't know that. I just saw this young man coming in. We had two meetings a day, and it taking forever to get in the door like this. Young man, just. And of course, all eyes would go on him, so it would kind of disrupt the service. And then you'd see him halfway in the service get up and walk out in that same condition. And he's outside like 15 minutes, then he comes in. So it kept disrupting. Finally, I asked somebody, what's going on with that young man? They said he fell off a 17-foot building in a construction accident and broke his back and neck in several places. And he has to go out in the middle of your meeting and vomit from the pain. And then he comes back in, and it takes a whole team to get him ready to come over to the meeting on the ferry. Everybody say, I know we were on this subject the other night, and I could be on it for a year, I think. But everybody say hunger. That's hunger. Hunger to get your miracle. He didn't get it Sunday morning. He didn't get it Sunday night. He didn't get it Monday morning. He didn't get it Monday night. But he would not be denied, and he would not stop. And then finally, I had a special, I was teaching on healing and all the morning services. And on Saturday morning, we had a special laying on of hands service. And I really expected him to start running, leaping, and he didn't. And he fell out under the power. And a few people were invited over to the pastor's house later for dinner. And we're all there, and you could tell the young man was still out in the glory. He wasn't even talking. But it looked to me like when he stood up, he still stood up stiff. And then that last night, he was just walking in the building, and he fell straight over on his face. And when a man in that condition falls over with no ushers, you kind of, everybody goes, and he laid there all night. I just had to preach around him as he laid there. The next day, we were getting ready to leave. I was in the house. I was staying in packing. And it sounded like half that church came running in that house. They're all screaming at the same time. Guess who's running and leaping all over the streets of Friday Harbor, Washington? He had never picked up his 18-month-old son because he had been born right about the time he had the accident. And now he had his son on his shoulders. He went home and started chopping wood. And that young man became a pastor in one of the Alaskan villages. It's been so long, I got to go back and check which village. Maybe he's still there, for all I know. But it was the anointing that did it. It coupled with hunger that won't let go. That anointing is mine. That healing is mine. I may not have gotten it last night. I may not have gotten it this morning, but it's mine. And I'll be there again tonight. And I'll be there again tomorrow, because that anointing cannot fail. You know, I looked down some of these things, and obviously we couldn't just take all night just on this. I shared last night a story about a very demonized man in Kentucky that actually leaped up on 12 or 13 feet in the air on stacked up chairs and began to take his clothes off and snarl. and have been arrested for exposing himself publicly. It just goes on and on. But he was delivered in a moment. And that whole town came out because the whole town knew about him. And he became the father and husband. It was the anointing that did it. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage every single time. And I don't know about you, I want to see it increased. What kind of an encounter do you want to have? I know where I want to go and I know what I want to do with it. So it requires me and you to turn up the heat a bit. If we're going to have something we've never had before, we've got to do something we've never done before. And we've seen some great things. Cancers leave people and blind eyes come open. But I am not satisfied. I'm looking for the day where not one person with any infirmity can leave any of our houses with anything upon them. That kind of anointing, that kind of meeting. So I don't know about you, but I'm pressing in for it. This anointing is our equipment and involves the power of God. It is a yoke destroying, burden removing, life changing, mind transforming, strength imparting, body healing, dead man raising. And it is present. It's not something for the future. He is here right now. His spirit is here right now. His equipment is here right now. It's not something we're looking for someday. He is ever present and he's moving throughout the earth all the time. All the time. We're not blessed just to be blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. I want to go places in the anointing I can't go on my own. I want to step into things I could never step into on my own. I want to possess some things I could never possess on my own. And I want to be able to say it's all because the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. He's upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news of the gospel. He's anointed me to release the captive. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. He has anointed me to make a difference in this world. Zechariah 4:6, he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Anything the devil tries to put on anybody can be destroyed because of the anointing. That's why we're so protective of it. That's why we won't allow just anything in it. And then the minute you try to separate goofiness and flakiness from true anointing, then people suddenly think you're controlling. But if we're going to have God be able to do what he wants to do in any atmosphere he wants to do it in, we can't trade in the anointing, just like we can't trade it in for professionalism or for religion. Neither can we trade it in for goofiness. We're in an hour, I can't belabor that, but I see so many people wanting to do the symbolic instead of having the real. How many know everything in the Old Testament pointed to someday, and why they want to give up what we have today and say, let's go back to all the symbolic stuff they did back there? My pastor said he wouldn't be surprised if someday charismatics don't start bringing cows in to try to sacrifice them next, because they bring every other thing from and mix up what covenant they're in. Well, anyway, I got to get off that. But we are protective of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. In America, though, especially, it's appalling to see this stuff going on. One day freedom, the next day people go back into bondage. They trade one form of bondage for another one. Just think about that day when Isaiah was asked about the anointing. It was a day, remember, when God had been shut up in the Holy of Holies. He couldn't get to his people couldn't get to him. Only the priest could go in there once a year. Can you imagine when that curtain was rent in twain and light? Can you imagine if a groom, I don't want to get too real here, but a groom on his wedding night is locked out. And finally, God kicked the door down as the curtain was rent in twain and said, "Let me into my bride. It is time." So as God was meeting with only the priest, and as people knew the anointing upon only prophet, priest, and king to do a particular job, and they said, "Hey, Isaiah, when's this anointing going to come for us, for our generation, for our kids, our grandkids?" And can you imagine getting this answer when he lets them know, oh, there's coming a day where everything's going to change and the anointing's going to be available for everybody, every blue collar worker, everybody, and it's going to be permanent. And then in Isaiah 10:27, reading out of the Amplified, "And it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrians shall depart from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness, which prevents it from going around your neck." When people aren't under the anointing, they're under a slave yoke. We're all slaves wherever the anointing is not Lord and something else is Lord in our lives. But Isaiah said, "I'm sorry to tell you, it's not really for you or maybe the next generation, but there's coming a day." And they were all wondering, when is that day coming? And then when the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, that anointing became available for you and I and our kids and everybody around us. But I want you to understand this. Everybody knows what a yoke is. An oxen may want to go this way, but the yoke's going to say, "No, you can't go where you want to go. You got to go where I pull you." Some of you who have known what it's like to be addicted to drugs or to alcohol, "No, I want to straighten up. I want to be a good father and dad." But that yoke of whatever it is goes, "You can't do what you want to do. You're going to do what I force you to do." That's a horrible thing. But Isaiah, by the Holy Ghost, says there's coming a day that none of those yokes can hold on to anybody. There's coming a day where the fat of God, I want you to think about this. That's why I like this in the Amplified. When you come up in this line later, if that's what we do, you're not coming up in a diet line tonight. I'll leave the diet to when we talk about health or whatever God tells you to do. But I think people confuse diets in the natural with diets spiritually. When you go to a salad bar, or not a salad bar, but a whole smorgasbord bar, back when they used to have those, and somebody's on a diet, low fat, low carb, whatever, you start down the thing, "I'll have meat with no skin, I'll have salad with no dressing, I'll have bread with no, I can't even have the bread, never mind. Forget the cereal, I'll just eat the box." And I'll just, you know, everybody looks depressed on a diet. Because fat is what gives anything its flavor. That's why there is nothing like a good old ribeye marveled with fat. That's why the Bible talks about if you say somebody can't eat meat, it's a doctrine of devils. But I'll stay off. But there is nothing like a marble piece of ribeye that has all this fat running through it, because it's what gives it its flavor. I never want some dry sirloin if I can have a nice, moist ribeye. Anyway, everybody will be darting out of here to head to a steakhouse if I don't stop. But there is something like about that fat. And what God does, the word anoint in the Hebrew really does mean to paint, to smear, to rub in, as with oil, like suntan lotion, just rub in. So when you get in an anointing line, God takes his big Holy Ghost paintbrush or his big Holy Ghost hand, and he dips it into his own character, into his own light, into his own glory, into his own integrity, into his own power, into his own love, into his own everything. And he takes a big scoop of that, and he begins to just slather you and paint you and rub you in. That's why you need both hands up. If he paints me, I want him to get the trim. I want him to get everything. Don't leave out any places, Lord. And when he paints you, he is not painting you with a carrot or a broccoli piece. People act like that when they get up in the line. If you can even get them to hold up their hand. Would you mind closing your eyes and raising your hands? If that makes you happy. You can tell they're no more expecting anything. I've prayed for people when everybody else is totally getting immersed in the Holy Ghost. And somebody comes up and says, "I'm suicidal. Would you pray for me?" And I'll say, "Do you want that?" And they're looking at some woman whose wig has just spun off her head or something. And they're going, "No, not that much." Or somebody says, I'm crippled up with arthritis. Well, let's believe for your healing tonight. Oh, no, I haven't had a night's sleep in 2 weeks. Just pray that I can have one night's sleep. I'm like, are you kidding me? We aren't in a diet line of God. God light, anointing light. If we got to get God involved so that you can have a one night's sleep, let's really get him involved and see that thing from hell go. If we're going to get God involved and you need some joy so you don't take your life, let's believe more than for a half smile tonight. So one person who said to me, no, I don't want all that. I said, all right, the Bible talks about a prayer of agreement. There is no use in me praying for something you don't want. I think I understand what you want, so I'm going to pray that way. God, don't let her have so much joy that she can't tell if she's in heaven or on the earth. Don't give her this joy unspeakable that your word talks about that all these people are having. But Lord, she's going to take her life if we don't get some. So we need just a tiny bit, like the old Brill Cream commercials, a little dabble, do you? We just need enough, Lord, to take the mouth from here to here. We don't want too much. And pretty soon they'll say, all right, maybe I do want that. And then they're the one carried out looking worse than the lady whose wig spun around. When you approach God, don't come to him like you're asking for one piece of broccoli. Save that for your natural diet. We're coming for the chicken fried steak and gravy of God. We're coming for the thick ice cream of God. We're coming for the mutt tuck of God. Hallelujah. No diet line here. That's why David said, taste and see. You could tell people that have never really tasted. Hey, would you like some of that? I can take it or leave it. As somebody who's never had a ribeye from another country, I've tried describing that to them. Then I went out and had one of their steaks and thought, oh, I understand now why they didn't understand a ribeye. On the menu is one thing, steak. And you get it, it's a little piece of dried somewhere between a hamburger and a sirloin about this big. And it just says beef steak. Oh, they don't know what a ribeye is. They've never tasted it. They have never tasted a baked potato slathered in butter running all over the dish. So I have to describe it to them. And half the Pentecostal church anymore, half the charismatic church, when you talk about the anointing, I think I've heard the term. And you have to go, no, you want that. It's like this. It's like this. It's like this. Hallelujah. There was a couple in Colombia, Medellin, Colombia, the drug cartel capital of the world. And when I was there, this couple, they were Americans doing the children's church. And they said, Debbie, you left us with your series on the anointing. And they said, that tape, this was a long time ago. It actually was a cassette tape. We put it in our car when we take our kids to school. And they said, we have watched people just being murdered, neighbors around us. And when we come to a red light, we all have to duck. They'll take your car. But she said, you know what kept us going? That tape on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you why. Mostly we had teaching tapes in that old series, but I left one tape in there that was done in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I think they were with me again, or at least Katie, their daughter, was. But how many heard Pastor Todd Holmes preach here? It was his father's church. That's how Pastor Katie met Pastor Todd, coming with me on the road, and I held revival for his dad many times, and Pastor Todd was the worship leader and associate pastor. Pastor Todd got so hit by the Holy Ghost in those meetings, he went through the wall. He went through the sheetrock backwards and wrote songs out of it. But anyway, I thought I was going to have these great Holy Ghost meetings at night and teach in the morning. And so on Monday, I was teaching on the anointing. And literally, they can tell you, I said, the word anoint means to rub, and that's all I got out, because everybody got rubbed. they all fell out of their seats. And for the next couple hours, I thought, wow, we didn't go very far in that series, but I'll catch up tomorrow. So I said, we'll do a little review. The word anoint means to rub. It means to paint. Boom. Everybody fell out again and got painted. And by Wednesday, when I said it means to rub, to paint, to smear, everybody got smeared and fell out again. It was Thursday before we could actually start teaching. But I left one of those Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday just in with my series, just so people could just listen to everybody else yielding, and it helps other people to just easily yield. So that's what they were listening to in Colombia when they're watching their neighbors be murdered around them. They said, we can keep going. God, rub us, smear us. We have an assignment over here. We can keep going. There is something about getting rubbed in often. This is probably my 31st year of getting rubbed in and smeared and painted. And it never gets old. I don't care if it's somebody else's meetings or I'm carried out of my own. I don't care. I'll get in every line as long as I sense any anointing whatsoever. I mean, I've refused a few lines where somebody's going down the line. You can tell they've never known a day of revival in their life, but they're trying to borrow revival terms. Have you ever seen that? Belt, rivers, new wine, fire. But the one that really gets to me is when they go, double portion. I'm sitting there thinking, you're already dead. I don't want to be double dead when you get done with me, so I think I'll bypass this line. But as long as there's a drop of anointing, you'll see me in every line with both arms up. I've never one time in anybody's meeting said, hello, I know you don't know who I am, but I also have services like this. And could I help you pray for someone? I don't even understand people thinking like that. I wouldn't think of it for a moment. I'm there to receive. I'm there to get my refreshing. I'm there to get painted and smeared again. I'm there to get another impartation so that I continue to have something to give. Hallelujah. It's our equipment. It involves the power of God. We sang about him tonight, El Shaddai, the God of too much, the God of more than enough. His thick Shekinah glory. I remember Brother Hagin talking about the glory cloud of God rolling in, and I had grown up in Pentecost, but I had never heard anybody say that. And I remember thinking, God, can that be true? Where you actually physically, the glory cloud can come in like that? But I knew Brother Hagin wouldn't lie. I was sitting there going, man, can I see something like that once in my lifetime? And I never dreamed when we were out at the prison, Chaplain Solomon, Edna will remember this, because because once it rolled in and I couldn't see, Edna hollered right out loud, you can't see, can you? I said, how did you know I couldn't see? She said, you can tell when someone can't see. And I was just overcome with that thick blanket. But across the world today, you hear people, I won't belabor this, but saying these silly things. Oh, the glory rolled in. It was so cute. And we were taking pictures. Pastor Rodney and I sit and discuss it, and we go, if the glory rolled in like that, they wouldn't be talking like that, getting out their cameras. You can't move in the heavy Shekinah of Almighty God. You can't even see through that. And we get a little dose of that when the anointing comes our way. Jesus did not proclaim or not did not perform his miracles as the Son of God, even though he was the Son of God, is the Son of God, will always be the Son of God. I will say that again so there's no misunderstanding. He was and he is and he always will be the divine Son of God. But Philippians tells us he laid aside that glory and power. He was still the Son of God. He could have picked it up had he chosen to, but he laid it aside in the ministry to perform as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. He did no miracles at 5, at 10, at 20, at 25. Not until the anointing came upon him when he was baptized in water and the Spirit of the living God descended upon him. And they heard the words, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he goes out to the desert to be tempted by the enemy and comes back in anointed by the Holy Ghost. And then we see the first miracle. If Jesus were performing his miracles as the Son of God, why would he have to be anointed, and who could anoint him? And yet the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were afflicted by the enemy. How God anointed Jesus. If he needed to be anointed and then stands up in the temple and says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, religion hates that. Because even if you are anointed, you're not supposed to say it. And they said, oh, it's fine for the future. But he's saying this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. We don't care if somebody talks about someday we're going to get the anointing. Someday we're going to have revival. Someday we're going to see miracles. But when somebody stands up and says, we can have it today, the religion hates that. And then they're afraid that everybody will flock away from their religious meetings to where the anointing is. And so the only thing you can do with the anointing is to try to kill the person carrying the anointing. Jesus was anointed. How much more do you and I need to be anointed? How interesting that he spent 30 years in preparation for 3.5 years of ministry. Now most of us spend about 3 years in preparation for 30 years of ministry. The anointing comes to take over our lives, not just to give us goosebumps. Causes us to live in the Spirit. It's the oil, the lubrication, the fuel for everything we need. We must press into it. The worst thing that can happen is that you get too free, too blessed, too anointed, able to do too much damage to the enemy's kingdom, hold too much revival throughout the state, get too many people saved, too many people healed, too many people delivered. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Why would anyone not want more anointing? Instead of going, I had that back in 92, thank you. Wow, that was a long time ago. A man in a certain denomination in this state came into one of our meetings here in the valley. And he just started following me down the prayer line. And he said, oh my, I haven't seen this since I was in chapel in 49. 49? Sir, it's now, I think it was like 1996. I said, Lord, sir, that was a long time ago. Wouldn't you like some more? And he looked so shocked. He goes, like I could have more since 1949? Yes, you could have more, like right now. You can have just what you had then and then some, right now. And so I said, I'm going to ask your permission to pray for you. I respected his position. And that man hit the ground. He was still in tongues and rolling in the joy of the Holy Ghost when we left. And he was shouting, oh, this is better than in 49. Some people get filled, but they got a hole somewhere and leaked out before they even got to the back door. And we're supposed to be continually being filled and continually being painted. When you have the anointing, you don't need a follow-up program. Listen to this closely. You no longer need a rehabilitation program. You don't need an addition. People say, I don't need all those signs and wonders. I don't need that joy of the Lord. I don't need that power. I don't need those demonstrations. Then you must want a heavy yoke. A heavy burden, because the only thing that gets rid of the heavy burden is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The only alternative to not being bound is to be anointed. It is a yoke destroyer. Oh, but lady, I know it is generally, but you just don't know what I'm going through. No, you don't know what we're anointed with. You just haven't heard enough about the power of God yet. Everybody likes to quote, as I did a while ago, Acts 10:38. But did you realize there's a verse right before it, Acts 10:37? That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now listen to this, that word, what word? He goes on to say what word it was, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He said it first began to be published in Judea. Jesus, who began to publish that? When you publish something, you're announcing it. You're like a newspaper heralder. Somebody started walking around and saying, he's anointed. He even walked around himself saying, I'm anointed. He didn't walk around saying, I'm the son of God. He didn't want to give that away before the time. But he did walk around saying, I'm anointed. Because that's how everybody found out. That's why blind Bartimaeus said, he's got something. That's why the woman with the issue of blood said, I've heard about that anointing. If I just touch the hem of his garment. That's why entire towns came out. Not because they heard he didn't have anything or 3 points in a poem. They heard he's anointed. His clothes are saturated with it. If you can just make contact with those clothes anywhere on his body, that anointing will leave him and go into you. So we've got to spread the publicity of the anointing of Almighty God. But we talk about too many other things. The sickness, the poverty, the problem, how the devil's attacking us. We got to make that real small and make his anointing real big and walk around saying, but God, I have a trial here, but God. He came against me here, but God. Publish it. You've got to understand, and the people out there got to hear in Alaska that there's not a mountain he can't move. No problem he can't solve. No enemy he's not defeated. No sickness he cannot heal. There's not a devil he cannot cast out. He never looks down the prayer line and says, big problem, let me pass that one by. Do not be impressed by the problem. Be impressed by the anointing. Sickness is so easy for him to heal. The tormented, the oppressed, the suicidal, the abused. The anointing comes in, reaches in, and makes everything different in a Holy Ghost moment. But we want to talk about everything else. Everything in this word, pay attention closely. Every line has some reference to how big he is. How anointed he is. Every single line, it causes us to be a revival carrier. And once you're a revival carrier and once you're anointed, that burden will have to wave goodbye. It'll actually say, I can't hang around you anymore. You're too anointed. You're under the influence of the Holy Ghost. That burden of worry and doubt and debt and infirmity, they all have to bow out. You're too anointed. Publicity means that we get the word out, but Jesus is underpublished throughout the earth. If you are paying more attention to the lying news media every night on TV, you're going to have a problem coming in and getting anointed. If you just listen to all the propaganda of the world, you got to shut it down and say, this is what I'm listening to. Not what is, but what can be by the anointing. Not what they're lying about, but what the Holy Ghost says. And I've read the end of the book, and I know how it's going to end, and we win. So that's good enough. You got to understand, he's not just a historical Jesus. He doesn't have to pray through to get the victory. He's got it already. He's not going to be Lord someday. He's Lord already. He is not going to beat the devil when he comes back the second time. He has already beat him and made a spoil of him openly, triumphing over him in it. He's not going to give the church the victory when he comes back. He has given us all power and all authority and all victory right now. Hallelujah. He's bigger than the yoke, bigger than the burden, bigger than the weight. But the greatest publicity of the anointing is by word of mouth. We're not preachers of what's happening out there. We're preachers of who is Lord. And everything can be changed by the anointing. Pastor already talked about it. Addicts becoming preachers in this house. Who is Lord to you? What is going on can completely be changed by the anointing. Nations shaken, churches revived, addicts becoming saints, dope dealers, preachers, terminal people living. The word of mouth is God's means of publicity. You got to get it off this page, though, and into your heart and then out your mouth. Somebody can be sitting in the service, and this could happen in just a very few moments, and say, I don't know. I didn't get anything. Have you ever noticed two people can be sitting beside each other in a service and one is transformed for the rest of their lives? And the other one goes, oh, really? I didn't get anything. Same vessel, same anointing, same word, same atmosphere. But somebody is so open to the anointing and so hungry and so thirsty and so yielded. And somebody sits there either in their religious mood or in their feeling sorry for themselves mood or whatever it is. But listen to this carefully, and I don't want you to misunderstand this. Quit trying to fill with the senses or with the head and feel by the Spirit of God and mix some faith with it. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached about what was on him. And the Pharisees said, we got some stuff too. You know what they had? They had robes, but he had the anointing. They had attitudes, but he had the anointing. They had jots and tittles and the letter and the Sabbaths, but he had the anointing. So he began to spread the reputation of what the anointing can do. And we've got to do the same thing. And then he said, I send you away, disciples, with an anointing. And I send my church out now that the Holy Ghost has come with an anointing. Come on, get up, anointed church. You're anointed. And get the job done. Peter got the revelation. Listen to this carefully. Who is everybody saying I am? Peter, oh, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist. I don't care what they say. I want to know who I am to you. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one, the anointing. So if you're anti what he was and what he did, you're anti-anointing. If you're anti signs and wonders or tongues or miracles or healing, you're anti-anointing. And if you're anti-anointing, you're anti-Christ and of that spirit in the world. It's one way or the other way. We've got to have people coming from the north, south, east, and west because they see the joy in our face and they see the anointing shining on us. Everything, when I look back, that we've been able to accomplish, almost all of it was so impossible that it was laughable. But every single time I like to look back on it and go, it was the anointing that did it. It was the anointing that raised us up, the anointing that kept us, the anointing that restored us, the anointing that enabled us, the anointing that wrapped around me, the anointing that just ran down me. It was the anointing that did every bit of it. Hanging out with religion is terrible, but hanging out with Jesus is the most exciting thing. He's unpredictable. He may stop a funeral, and he may go into Jairus' house and say, she only sleeps, and have people roll their eyes and go, there he goes again. This dead lady, he's saying she's just sleeping. But you've got to yield to that anointing. Elisha wanted the double portion so much. He said, I'll go everywhere you go, Elijah. No, go home. No, I won't go home. I'm going to have it. The person that desires the double portion can have the double portion. I wonder if he would have said, I want 10 times the portion. Jacob said, I won't let you go till you bless me. There is something about the man or the woman or the boy or the girl. You don't have to come up through the denominational ranks. People will say, who is that boy over there that came from Hawaii and you know, came out of Teen Challenge? And how could this be? He didn't come up the ranks of all of our Bible schools or all of, you know, there's something about when the anointing hits you, it pulls you out of the crowd. It pulls you out of the masses. And I'll close with this. The woman with the issue of blood, when she made a demand on that anointing, and you all know because of her particular issue of blood that it was against Jewish law for her to be out in public, and I'm sure people were kicking her and probably picking up stones and saying, we could kill you right here. What are you doing? Then kill me right here. But I'm going in for the anointing. I'm not going to sit in my house and obey your little religious system here. I heard he's anointed. I'm just going to touch him. And when she did, and he said, who touched me? Notice he was not operating by word of knowledge at that moment. He was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Who touched me? Oh, what are you, excuse me, sir, but everybody's thronging you. They're falling on you. Everybody's on all sides of you. No, somebody made a demand of my ability. Somebody drew it right out of me. It wasn't like the other people touching me, bumping me. Somebody, and I'm not interested in giving the microphone to the rest of this crowd to say, I went to his meeting and I didn't get anything. I'm interested in giving the microphone to this lady so it can be written down by the Holy Ghost so that my church knows that you aren't just one of the masses when you make a demand on the anointing. You are singled out and you are pulled right out of the crowd so that everybody can say, how did that happen? I made contact with some anointing and it changed everything. And back in 1992, it changed everything. And now here it is. I'm not going to walk around like that man did and say, the last time I saw this was 1992. That's a long time ago. Tonight, I needed fresh anointing for you. Tonight, you need fresh anointing. I believe you're sitting in the middle of the church operating and pressing in for the anointing, probably above all churches in this state. But it's not enough just to be sitting in a church like that. It's not enough to be nodding and saying amen, saying I go to a really cool hip church, it's growing, build a new building, got great worship, great preaching. No, what's available to somebody else sitting here is available to you. And he wants to change your life and bless your socks off. And then he wants to pour in that anointing and rub you in so much that you might be the one that takes off in the prison, in the jails. You might be the one that takes off and reaches the lost at any cost that nobody else is able to reach. You just got to get some more anointing. And there is nothing that some more anointing won't fix, no matter what's going on in your life. When you read my book, I was going to say some more and pass out product, and I just got going and didn't even do that. I was going to bless some people. But when you read that book, that I will do a book signing on in a little few minutes, you'll see there's a whole bunch of times the devil said, aha, got her now. And in the natural, that would have been right. But oh, some anointing ran down me again and wrapped around me. And it made all the difference. And I'm sure the enemy went, I can't believe this, she's up again. And that's what he's saying about you tonight. Great, couldn't get him to stay away tonight from getting more anointing. They're pressing in. And we're not quite finished pressing in.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.